This is the regular city council meeting. It's January 25th, 2016, 6:30 PM.
Good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you here to tonight's January 25th, 2015, regular Othello City Council meeting. And we have some special guests with us tonight. And also, I want to point out that in addition to when we do the Pledge of Allegiance, up to the left of the dais is the flag of the nation of Ghana, because our representative from the sister city is here. And I just wanted to point that out. And so, would everyone please rise? I'll give an invocation and then the Pledge of Allegiance. So what I'd like is everyone to please bow their head, and in their own way, I'd ask that you speak a blessing over this city, and that we would have wisdom and favor and understanding as we go forward in our proceedings tonight. So please take a moment. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. You may be seated. Moved item 1.4 on our agenda is the roll call, and all council members are present tonight except for Angel Garza, who is out of the state and he won't be here tonight. So I would entertain a motion to excuse Angel Garza from tonight's meeting.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Item 2 is the approval of tonight's agenda. Entertain a motion to approve our agenda tonight.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item 3 is our consent agenda. I'd entertain a motion to approve our consent agenda for tonight's meeting.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. We'll move on to our current business. Tonight, we have the pleasure of having Dr. Kwesi Osei-Bonsu with us from our sister city, Wilensi Nanumba South District Assembly in Ghana, Africa. And I had invited former Mayor Shannon McKay, who was the mayor of the city of Othello when that said sister city treaty was approved and ratified, and he signed it. And so I've asked him to introduce Dr. Kwesi and also the elements of the sister city treaty. So Shannon, do you want to?
When I was mayor, Kwesi Osei-Bonsu came to the city to talk about a sister city provision, which would make it easier for his village in Ghana to trade with and receive goods and services from our country without being taxed beyond the ability to do any help. So we sat down, Kwesi as a friend to you. I'm going to relate this story. English gentleman and I met him in the conference room. And he walked in with another fellow and father. And as soon as he entered the room, you could feel presence other than who I could see. I mean, and I'm a religious person, but not overly. And so I just got to tell you. So I felt that maybe there was somebody in the room that was going to set the stop on the right, set the stop on the right foot. This treaty, sister city cooperation between Valencia, Nanumba, South District Africa, and the city of Ocala. The treaty is entered into between Thomas Donacor, Ocala, District Chief Executive of Valencia, Nanumba South District, Ghana, and Shannon K. Mayor of the city of Ocala, USA, September 24th, 2007. The nations of Africa and the United States are joining together to learn more about one another, develop friendly, meaningful exchanges and trustful friendships. Under these traditional friendships, Valencia, Nanumba, South District, Africa, and the city of Ocala, USA, includes the following: in order to promote mutual understanding and friendly relationship, to facilitate development and social and economic welfare for both cities. These cities, these sister cities, Valencia and the city of Ocala, are in cooperation to build a partnership between the communities. These sister cities are in cooperation to maintain this agreement substantially and to create, learn, work, and solve problems through cultural, educational, municipal business, economical, professional, technical exchanges, and projects. This treaty is accomplished under the perfect agreement of both cities and each of the originals to be preserved by the District Chief Executive of Valencia and the Mayor of the city of Ocala. This was drawn up in 2007, and from that time till now, we have ran into, politics. We were kind of running. We got together, we sent tractors, we sent equipment, we sent PVC pipe, we sent everything. We had trouble getting it over there and then getting it unloaded, and then he got, Quincy got some power poles, and we were able to put electricity up to the water supply. And then they had an election, and then the next guy took me down. Am I correct? Yes. So, and then they were to come over here that fall, and there was problems getting visas and all of that. And so the group didn't get to come and do a reciprocal visit. We sent a group following in 12 people over there to help get this set up. And basically, where we're at this point is, since that time, Quincy has been appointed the chief of Ghana. Well, that is comparable to the president of the United States. So this is a very important person we have here. So I don't anticipate politics getting in the road again. So we're ready to embark on the second part of this education. And I met with Quincy over the weekend, and I got a list of things that they would like to need to move forward. And I'm quite confident that we can get it all together by the end of it and get it in that way. So I guess I will hand it all over to Quincy.
Pastor Quincy, do you want to come to the microphone, please? And for the record, would you state your name and where you're from?
My name is Dr. Quincy Ose Bonsu. I come from Ghana. I am the Justine of Boko, and my title name is Dr. Nana Akra Bedu the Third. That is my title name as a chief. And I work in my community, and I do everything that is possible to make sure that the development of my people becomes reality in life.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So, the city council and myself would like to give you 15 to 20 minutes to explain a little bit more of your role, what's going on in your country, and just give us a report from our sister city.
I would like to thank you very much for this opportunity. It's been a very, I'll use the word roller coaster for when it comes to politics. As a matter of fact, you guys are politicians, so must be very careful of what I say. I'm not a politician, I'm only a chief. And about 5 years ago, my uncle died, and from the royal family, they choose from the maternal side who will succeed the chief who dies. And out of about 100 people, the kingmakers have their way of investigating and going behind closed doors to find out who could be the suitable candidate. And just as in politics, people lobby around to find out who will be the next chief, and it's not easy. I was very naive because it's my direct uncle who have died, and all I wanted to do was to make sure that he's buried, and that's it. And I lived in England at the time with my family for a long time. And I didn't know that one of my uncles, we set up a program in Ghana, one of my uncles, who is also a member of the team, comes to my office at any time that I'm not there to investigate. I didn't know that, you know, you have the, your law enforcement agencies here that they investigate people, and I didn't know that in our local community, we had the Secret Service, that they go and investigate about everybody's life, what you have done, whether you are in the country or not. My uncle used to come to my office, investigate. And whenever I'm not there, he comes in and he talks to my workers and the students. And he goes to the canteen and talk to the people over there. I come back from my meetings and they will tell me, a gentleman came here. This is like the fourth time he has been here. He's coming to ask about you. I didn't know that he was a kingmaker. I didn't even know that he's my uncle, because we have a very extended family. And one day, before the funeral, they asked all the nephews, would you like to be the next chief? When it got to my turn, I said no, because I don't live in the country, and I'm not familiar with the culture of the how to become a chief. And the day of the burial, I went to the palace, and it was just like in this setting. I was coming out, I saw four guys, and I knew that no, this could be it, because nobody knows. Out of the 100 people, then they grabbed me, put on their shoulders. That's the end of the story. You become a chief. That's right. They sit you down, not on a chair, right on the floor. They want you to know that. They sit you on the floor for you to know you are nothing, you are nobody. And they're now going to teach you. So when you grab a chair and you sit down, they give you a chair like this two over there, the replica. We have one that has been in the family for about 200 years. And then that's the symbol of authority, that they give it to you, that you are the next chief. And you go through the process, and they teach you in 40 days how you should speak to people, how you should behave in public, that you are trained. We have people that have all the knowledge to let you know how you should behave yourself. And you go through a whole lot of training. For 3 years, I didn't get a chance to speak. I only have to learn, because it's a lifetime. If we don't die early, it's a lifetime job that they entrusted into your hands. But there is a caution that if you misbehave, you can be overthrown. Even though it's a lifetime job, like, if you misbehave, you can be overthrown. They will subpoena you and off, you're gone. And I've seen a few people that have been dethroned. The job of the chief is to make sure that you bring development from education to economics to the welfare and the well-being, health, welfare, well-being of the community. And it is not an easy job. You don't have a budget. And you see to it that children, they go to school, they have pipe-borne water, they have all the things, the facilities that makes every human community society work. And so it's on the chief, the honor is on the chief to make sure that he goes out there and bring in development and bring in people to come and help. Most of the people in our community are farmers. Majority of them, they farm in the cocoa. I'm sure majority, most of the people here, they eat chocolate. But most people don't know where the cocoa beans come from. Some have never seen it before. So it's part of our development. And then we have also in the farms, we do farm the yams and the plantains and other stuff that I'm sure some most of you are not familiar with. But the thing is, once you become a chief, it is not for you to lord yourself over the people. You can't go around to say you are the chief. But it is what you do that proves that whether you are the chief or not. Mind you, there are others that they come for. They love the power. Because once you become a chief, everybody is at your disposal. And people come and they serve you. If we were to have this meeting in Ghana, I would not be speaking directly to you. And I would not be standing up. I have to sit on my throne and then I have to speak through a language for that language to convey the message to you. So my life has totally changed, but I am still a human being and I live like one.
I have a question, Dr. Bonsu. How do you support yourself then as the chief? How are you supported for you and your family?
My wife has a business that she runs for the business, for the family. And I also run a computer. We put an NGO together that we train all the young people in the community and outside our community how to become educated. And we do the first year university program. And anybody that goes through it and passes can earn himself or herself a degree in computer science.
So when you spoke to me on Saturday, you were saying that if there were schools or businesses that had computers, even if they're old computers, that they're replacing, you can use them.
Yes. What we have done is we've put up a team that most of the computers that we refurbish them and then we reuse them. We don't throw anything away. And not only the computers, our clinics, they need help. Schools, books, and other stuff that we need. And so if within the sister city treaty, anything that the city can use or have finished using it, we can recycle them and then put them into use, from the hospital equipment to books to computers and good stuff that we can also put them back into use.
I was with you when you had gone to Mayor McKay's house, and he was putting together a list of items that would be of great assistance to the effort in Ghana and Wolensi. Do you want to identify some things that we can do as your sister city that we can do to help Wolensi and the effort that you're undertaking in Ghana?
Yes, the tractor that was given to us you all know, that was a very, very old tractor. We still use them. We're still using the tractor. But we needed other extra equipment, and that we can use to, like the planters, the sprayer for, and then we needed, if we could have a pump for irrigation, that would be very useful. Basically, we need the tools, farm implements, farming tools to get us, to keep us running the program and helping the community to develop. I didn't come this evening for money. I came for the knowledge. If we can buy into the knowledge that you guys have here, because if you look at the soil that you have in Othello, cannot be compared to the soil that we have. And I believe that the reason that Othello is doing so well is the technology that you guys have. And we can learn, if we can learn how to use the technology and have even a fraction of your technology, I believe that my village and my people, we will do very well.
Thank you. Council, do you have some questions? Comments? We want to thank you very much for coming tonight. We planned a reception for you immediately after this meeting. We do have a couple of items on our agenda to attend to. But before we do, I would like to, as the mayor of Othello, present you with a gift. This is a gift basket put together by my staff on behalf of the city of Othello to our sister city representative, Dr. Kwesi Bonsu, O.C. Bonsu. This is a list of different things, items about Othello, Killian Corn, a Sandhill Crane photo, a number of items that are of interest around our city and about our city. There's some things about the Abraham Lincoln Railroad, and we want to present this to you as a gift in honor of your visit.
I would like to thank the mayor and the council, and as the chief from my village in Ghana, I wouldn't like to, please come, I wouldn't like to let you, as an African, I'd like to say one thing. We don't want to just come and take from you. We'd like to also put something back into your community. And I believe that in terms of the culture exchange, we would love that the council will do all that they can, that in your fair, the festival, you will be able to invite us, that we also can come and entertain and also provide that culture experience and let you people enjoy it. And by the virtue of, as a chief, I'd like to also present to you my smock.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. As an exchange to what you have given onto Ghana and our community. Okay? And remember, this is the chief's smoke.
Yes.
So you are the chief. Now, you're not you.
Thank you. I am honored to receive this gift on behalf of the city. the extra honor that comes as it comes from Chief from Ghana. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
We're very honored. And we intend to honor you with a reception after, so please stay, okay? Yes. I feel like I want to invite Tim Pote, maybe if you want to say a few words. Tim was part of the delegation that went to Ghana. And Tim, maybe you could just kind of give the council, because this has been a number of years now, and we're largely a new council. And so maybe you could give us just kind of a, when you went over there, what you saw, what occurred. And I think that would be helpful to us to understand those things tonight.
Well, we went, and last time we went was about 4 years ago. And we went up to Wilenci, and the tribal chief up there, we have about 1,500 acres up there that we have set aside for development up there. The chief, when we had talked to him last, part of what he'd like us to do is help them come forward in farming. That would be with cattle ranching, with farming techniques, irrigation, and all that entails. You know, we've got a diverse community here amongst us with farming and whatnot. So I think we share information back and forth, and we can help them move forward in farming, but there's also a lot for us to learn from their culture as well. Mm-hmm. The hospitality that we felt, community that we felt while we were there, you know. I received my smock the first year that we went in 2008, I believe it was. And it's very life-changing. You know, there's a lot of things that we take for granted. And, you know, one of them is a camera. You know, how many of us have cameras on every phone that we have? A lot of the kids, we took pictures of them with the digital camera. That's the first time they've ever seen their face on a picture. You know, and they've seen it on a screen. So, you know, there's a lot of little things that we take for granted that we have every day that a lot of the children will never see. So, you get anything?
So,
that's kind of a quick synopsis of what we've seen while we were there. If you get the opportunity to go, it's definitely a life-changing experience for you. So,
very good. Thank you. Council, do you have any questions? Very good. Thank you so much. Okay.
Sean?
Yes. Yes, we have a lot of mayors in the room today, don't we? This is Mayor E.R. Kelly.
Yes, Mayor Logan, Honorable Council. I just wanted to say that we went to Ghana in 2012, and we visited all over that country. The North Bush country and the South and all over, and they are the most wonderful people in the world. They really are. You just see it in their eyes, and we saw a lot of little children. We helped build an old school building that they had there. There was seven of us, and all of a sudden we turned around and there was about 20 or 30 people out there helping us. They didn't have the materials, and we got the materials, and we built the building. Those are the things that they need. They'll do it themselves. They will. They will work with us. They will do it themselves, but they need help. And the slightest little things that we take for granted, it's precious to them. Mm-hmm. I saw little kids that all their toys were handmade, made them out of tin cans, but they were toys. They're very intelligent kids, and what they want best of all the kids that I talked to, what they wanted best was an education, a chance. They wanted an opportunity, and these people really, really deserve it, because they have everything it takes, except materials and the opportunity to develop. It's a small country, a tiny country, and you know, we support all the big guys, you know, that that makes a difference in the world, I suppose. But Ghana does make a difference, because there's beautiful people. I think the thing that they can give us most, and that's my opinion, it's not my brother Kwesi, I'm going to say it right, Kwesi, is that country is 85% Christian, and they can pray for this city. They can pray for this city, and all we have to do is ask. That's all I want to say. There's a million things we can say. In fact, I can give you DVDs of all the trips and people and so on, but let me tell you, they're beautiful people, and they need a break. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you. You know, I'm thinking, Dr. Kwesi is going to be here. He's leaving again on the 5th of February, and I don't know that he has a completely full schedule between now and then. And maybe if you wanted to, you could organize a reception where you showed these DVDs and things, and people could come, because I know that there's been a number of interest when they read the Othello Outlook article that Dr. Kwesi was coming. And so there's been people asking me, and they've been asking Wino where Dr. Kwesi is staying. What can we do? How can we? Part of it is they just want to be around him. I know he is ministering in a number of churches in the community, including tomorrow night at the Four Square Church. But if somehow we could show these DVDs and videos, I think that would really help the community understand more about our sister city, about the country of Ghana, the things that are taking place there. And I think an understanding and awareness is just good for all of us, don't you? So, okay. All right, we just have a few more items to go through tonight on our agenda, and then we're going to host a reception for Dr. Kwesi. So I'll move to item 4.2, and Chief Phil Shank is here to talk about amending OMC Section 9.08.065, titled Restricted Parking.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council. That's going to be a hard act to follow. That's impressive. Real quick, these are items that we brought to Council back in November. There were some questions that Council had on them. Hopefully I can answer. I've done some research. Hopefully I can answer all those questions now. And the last meeting was informational. This is not being brought in front of you tonight as informational. We are asking for a resolution. If you'd like to modify it, please let us know. The first one was parking. The reason I brought this to Council back in November is the penalty on this, or one of the penalties on this, was listed as a misdemeanor. And as I pointed to Council, we can't have any misdemeanors in our municipal code. It has to be civil infractions. In this case, the question, and I don't think anybody had any argument on that, the question was, why do we have parking restrictions? And I think the primary one that was brought up, and I think it was Councilor Everett, was on not Broadway first, and why there was restricted parking between three and six. There are no signs out there that I could find, but this does restrict that parking. I did talk to the Public Works Director, and the answer that he has is The restrictions are for street sweeping and snow removal at different times. So that's the answer I have for that. The other parking restrictions around the park and et cetera. So any questions from council on this one?
Council, you're familiar with what this ordinance change does? Is there any objections to any of it? Anything you'd like to see changed?
I actually would like to add some things under here, as long as we're working on the ordinance anyways. And it's the restrictions that the chief is talking about. The restrictions are between 2 and 5 for Main Street and for First Avenue. And I understand about the street sweeping, the snow removal, but when's the last time we had either street sweeping or snow removal between 2 and 5 in the morning? These two restrictions, both on Main Street and First Avenue, are creating inconveniences for people. And I think that they're being more inconvenienced than we're saving hassles for our street sweeper and our snow plows. Main Street, we have houses, people that live on Main Street that park out there, and they are year-round, they park up there. My biggest thing with down on First Avenue was, first of all, there's a bar down there. People park on the street. They go in the bar and drink. Then they break an ordinance that they leave their car and walk home. Second is, there's a business across the street from the bar, Quo Laboratories. There are people who are going to work at 3 o'clock in the morning. And right now, they're having to park around the block and walk to work at 3 in the morning. And I don't know of anybody here that would be comfortable walking down the street at 3 o'clock in the morning. So I would like to see those two stricken from this ordinance.
And I need to mention, I apologize, I misspoke. I went from memory when I should go with what's in front of me. What the ordinance actually says is 11 to 6. It's not 3 to 6.
It's 2 to 5.
Well, I'm looking at 9.08.065A.
Oh, 9.08.030 says 2 to 5.
Okay. 11 to 6 is these other areas.
That's put apart.
Yes. Thank you.
Do you think we need to do some more work on this?
Dan, I disagree because I do know that the streets, I don't know necessarily that the street sweeper is out at those hours anymore, but I do know that the snow plows do go out at those hours, and they prefer to go out at those hours because there are no vehicles out on the roads at that time, if they can. And a lot of times it's snowing at midnight, and that's when they get called out. And I believe earlier this winter, when it was snowing, when we had snow removal, they were out at midnight plowing.
How often does that happen? Not very often, and it's only 3 months a year.
Yeah, but you don't want to have, on those main streets, you don't want to have a big bump out where you're going around cars and you're leaving those piles of snow.
Okay, so we have two differing opinions. Anybody else?
You know, I would be happy even if we had the 2 to 5 during the winter months, but the rest of the year, it's just, I understand what the people are talking about down at Quo. When they came and talked to me, one of the employees down there, and he's just very uncomfortable having to walk to work at that time of morning. And they generally run from March, they run those hours from March through the summertime. You know, it's after that, it's after 5, they're coming to work, but I completely understand where they're coming from.
Well, we don't have parking meters on our streets, which would allow people to pay to park and give them the right to that parking spot. So basically, we're trying to pass an ordinance that will allow us to get things done through Public Works. Is that an inconvenience to what, one or two people? It probably is.
For 5 months a year.
compared to how often the streets are the street sweepers don't go out that time in the morning.
Well, the street sweepers do go out early in the morning, but they don't go.
They're not out before 5.
Because they can be out. I drove it before 5.
Are they coming out now?
I was working there.
Karen, are the street sweepers coming out? Before 5?
Yeah, and see, and you tend to do the main streets before you start the residentials, and you want to get out early on the main streets because there's no traffic, and you can do the main streets earlier because there's no noise ordinance.
Right, but the street sweepers don't come out before 5.
I don't know. That's
what you just said.
I'm out at 5, Jan.
You're out at 5?
5 o'clock, we get all the arterials, we try to get all the main streets before.
Yeah, and that's what I used to do when I drove it too, is we tried to get out early on the main streets, the arterials, and then you went into the residentials after people were up because the street sweeper's loud.
Right.
So, you know, there is a reason for that.
Can I make a suggestion that might be a compromise? Mm-hmm. And because I forget which council member just mentioned it, but I was closing it for winter months. Can I bring it back to council suggesting that the main or the first street section where we discuss that, January or December, January, February, those 3 months? I generally don't think that we have much snow outside of that. But during that period that we have a restriction, say, you know, whatever, 3 to 6, or I don't want to go with 11 to 6 or something like that, because I agree, if somebody's drinking at a bar and wants to walk home, please leave your car and walk home. Mm-hmm. But to accomplish what the street department needs to do, close a winter month street, January, February, and December, January, February, from 3 to 6.
That would work great.
Yeah.
Okay. Did council have any question? The original reason I brought it back, besides the penalty, was also the fact that code publishing wanted us to specify mid-block on Hamlet instead of the 12th and Hamlet, because there was no 12th and Hamlet. No problem with that change? Okay. Mm-hmm. Then I'll bring it back to council, if you agree.
Yes.
And if with those changes, can I put it on the consent agenda? Okay, very good.
Thank you. Okay, you're not done. We'll move to item 4.3, ordinance to amend OMC section 9.12.060, titled Load Limits. Chief?
Again, Mayor and Council, this was brought to you because of the issue with the penalty. The question that was brought up at the council meeting, I believe, was by the mayor on this one. And the question was, who sets the load limits? What I found out is that Washington State adopts the federal load limits. So Washington State Department of Transportation actually adopts those load limits. In order I did discuss again this one with Terry. The load limits that we have in this, it looks like they were probably designed back when most tires were bias tires and not radials. That we're trying to keep up with what the new changes are and the load limits are. The language I'd like to suggest is we actually strike most of 9.12.030, if not the whole thing. And what that allows us to do is we shut down sections of streets as we need to, relying on the authority to close street section. And for example, in discussion with the county, will shut down roads when the weather makes the roads, you know, kind of soupy and we don't want to rut them by driving semis through them. So they'll restrict those streets. We do have that kind of situation in our community, and that's usually alleyways. So if it's been raining a lot, we don't want garbage trucks, semis to be driving through the alleyways because they could create those same ruts. But the rest of our streets are actually paved and in good shape. So in this case, if we remove the load limit sections, rely on just what the state does already, and if we need to restrict the street, this we would still be able to by ordinance, you know, by resolution. So if we know that something's going to happen, we can do that. We could also do a temporary restriction, you know, as needed. This also would still scratch the misdemeanor and make it a C-10 infraction also.
So are you in agreement with this change?
Okay.
Entertain the motion.
Make a motion to approve this, the changes.
Second. Okay. Motion's been made and seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Going to move on to item 4.4, ordinance to amend chapter 9.32 titled speed limits. Chief?
Mayor and Council, thank you again. This, I brought it back the same way. Some of the concerns and questions that were brought up by Council at the when we presented this last time, and the discussion was almost exclusively on Main Street. There were other changes in this that we recommended because we want to make our street signage match our ordinance. This does that, and we've actually moved some street signs, our speed limit signs around to make it more compliant. We did lose a traffic ticket that I'm aware of because we had it signed incorrectly. What this does, and the recommendation in front of you, increases the speed out front here on Main Street from 25 to 30. The study that Mr. Goddard had done had actually justified, I believe, close to 35, but at this point we're recommending 30. The concern that I remember from Council was pedestrians trying to cross. The biggest issue that we've had has been high school students around lunchtime. I believe we have that resolved, and if anybody's had the chance to actually observe out in front during lunchtime, we have kids using the crosswalks now. We've worked out a deal with the high school. If we let the high school know that a young person has avoided the crosswalk and cut down the middle of the street, the high school will give them Saturday school. That seems to get their attention, so now they're using crosswalks. So I believe we've improved the safety out here quite a bit. We still have the flags. We haven't been able to get the receptacles placed yet, so we haven't been able to implement that program. But at this point, what's in front of Council, just some minor changes. I believe that was the only major concern, was increasing the speed out there from 25 to 30.
I'm still against increasing that to 30 miles an hour. If you come out of the east side of the building here and you're trying to cross Main Street during the day, you might as well just turn right and go down to the light and go a different way, because it's hard to get across there. If you're going 30, it's even going to be harder. And there's still kids crossing where they're not supposed to. And another thing is, if you're in the fast lane, you stop. The people are coming from the driver's side across the crosswalk. There's still people not stopping, you know, because they don't see that. They don't know why you're stopping. They should, but they don't, because they're not paying attention. And I just, 30 miles an hour, that somebody gets hit at that. I mean, get hit at 25, it's going to mess you up, but 30 miles an hour is really going to be bad. And it's really busy around lunchtime, around McDonald's and Subway and in that area. And I'm not for that.
Okay. Anyone else want to weigh in?
I've been doing a lot of practice in here lately since this has been brought up. And I drive up and down Main Street, and then I'll look down and see how fast I'm going. 30 miles an hour. Most of all the time. How I feel about this deal is, I feel, Chief, that you have studied it, the pros and cons, and did tests, blah, 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 and all this stuff. And if you feel it's 30 miles an hour, I'm for it.
Thank you, Larry. Anybody else have an opinion? Anyone to state?
I was pretty well stuck on the 25 mile an hour for Maine, too. I went and spent some time with the chief today, and after listening to what he had to say, I think I'm pretty much in agreement with 30. I think 30 is good on Maine. I do have one other thing on here, Broadway Avenue. It changes from 35 to 30, sorry, from 35 to 25 between Fir and Juniper. I think Broadway should be 35 all the way through. It's an industrial area down there, businesses, and those few blocks is 25. People miss it anyways. I think it should be 35 all the way through.
I don't think there are a lot of crosswalks in that area either. So
no.
It really doesn't make any sense that it goes down to 25 and then back up.
So there'd be another addition to the ordinance? Or can we do that differently?
We could procedurally. Do you have, Kelly, do you have an opinion procedurally if we want to add another particular section to this ordinance? Can we do that tonight?
You can. I mean, procedurally, you know, the question will be whenever we write it up, if the council is satisfied with the form, the written form. Mm-hmm. So then I would suggest that we bring it back. But we can certainly get consensus amongst council to add the section and specify what the section is to be, and then staff can include that and then bring it back for council confirmation.
Okay, and in a case of that kind, then I think what I'll do is I'll entertain a motion to approve tonight's ordinance. That's, yes, Chief?
Before you craft that resolution, Broadway, the entire length, are we talking through Main or are we talking from Main south?
The entire length from Highway 24 to the city limits.
Okay.
To the
increase. The whole of Broadway.
The whole, all of Broadway. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So with that, I would entertain a motion tonight to adopt this speed change ordinance on Main Street, and then with the consensus, which I'm going to need to get a consensus on the Broadway portion, when according to council, we should do that separately. So we would ask the chief to come back again on Broadway. But tonight, what's before us is the increase of speed limit from 25 miles an hour to 30 mile an hour on Main Street.
I would make that motion.
I'll second.
We have a motion made and seconded. Any further discussion on this motion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
And for the record, Snyder has opposed. Does anybody else oppose this? Okay, motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you. Item number 5, unfinished business. Is there any unfinished business to come before us tonight? New business, is there any new business that we need to bring up tonight that you'd like staff to research, talk about? Okay. Council is also going to receive department head reports on item 7.1, and I have two mayor's announcements. At 6 p.m. Friday, February 19th, is the annual Chamber of Commerce banquet. All the city council is going to receive an invitation to attend that. That's where they hand out the Citizen of the Year and the Civil Servant of the Year, Teacher of the Year, Business of the Year awards. Our own Wade Ferris is going to be the MC, and Travis Goddard is going to be one of the keynote speakers, is actually the keynote speaker. So it would be good to see a good representation of council. The next item I have, and the last one, is Thursday, February 25th at 6 p.m. There's going to be a legislative reception at the Capitol Building in Olympia, in the Columbia Room, where every city council member, the Board of Adams County Commissioners, Adams County Economic Development Council is going to be. Last year, the purpose of it was to honor Mark Schessler. This time we are going to honor legislators from all over the state of Washington, and it's really good to have a good representation of the Othello City Council, because it's basically the city's and the county and the Economic Development Council that are hosting this reception.
Okay, who's that?
That is a Thursday evening.
25th of?
25th of February.
Yep.
Okay.
Who's it for?
It's a legislative, we're inviting legislators from all over the state at the Capitol building. And we'll be giving away prizes and stuff, and Steve McFadden has put together quite a little reception. So purpose of such is to help us continue to expand our political influence. So with that, having no further business before the council meeting tonight, save for a reception in honor of Dr. Kwesi Osibansu, the tribal chief from Ghana, I will adjourn tonight's meeting.